Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. So I'm pretty hopeless with directions. Some of you already know that. If you try to tell me the way to somewhere, I know my face will just go blank because there's always a point where I get lost and I can't picture where you're telling me to go, nor can I remember what you're saying to me. I just keep listening, so not to appear rude, but I'm really not taking in what you're saying to me. Instead, I'm saying to myself, don't worry, Claire, you've got a sat-nav, it'll be okay, the sat-nav will show you where to go. When I worked for the Army down south, I had to visit the corps in the division. This was in the days before the sat-nav. So until I got to know where these corps were, I had to follow the AA or the RAC route finder instructions, which I printed off the internet. But they were always wrong, in my opinion, and I pretty much always got lost. When I asked my colleagues in the office how long it would take me to get to a specific place, their answer would usually be along the lines of, well, for most people it'll take about 45 minutes. For you, yeah, I reckon it'll take about an hour and a half. The cheek of it. How much easier life became for me when the sat-nav came into general use. I am much better following someone or something taking me to where I need to be. It's always better when someone shows us the way, I think. In our new homeschooling routine, the girls and I get up and get dressed, have our breakfast, do our exercise with Joe Wicks, and before we start our work for the day, we spend a little bit of time in Bible study and prayer. This week in the book that we were using, we've been following the story of Adam and Eve and how they were not particularly good at following instructions when they decided to eat from the tree of knowledge, which God told them not to. From that point on, the Bible is a story of God bringing us back to the Garden of Eden. Not the literal place, but the state of being where we had perfect communion with God. The Bible is about God's desire to direct us back, to help us find our way to God. The law was meant to be a set of directions for us. The prophets made it more personal, but it was still like the policeman pointing us in the right direction. Finally, God sent his son who said, follow me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. His life is the way to the Father. And today's I Am statements following our theme for Lent focuses on what this means. I invite you now to press pause and read this Bible passage through. It's John 14, 1-7. So let's pray together now, just before we hear what God has to say to us this morning from his word. Lord, we are here to worship you. Please speak to us, move amongst us and touch our hearts afresh with your love, that your name may be glorified here today. Amen. So we're at Palm Sunday, the triumphal procession of Jesus into Jerusalem, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the fulfilling of the prophecy of God, sending someone to show us the way to him and to save us. We know that for many in that crowd, people who were praising him and welcoming him that day, they didn't truly understand or believe who Jesus really was. We know that many of them thought he was the one who would be the national leader, restoring their nation to its former glory. They didn't get the real mission of Jesus, and he knew there were people in authority waiting for him in that city who were suspicious of him and felt threatened by him. And then there's the disciples. They had entered Jerusalem with Jesus, expecting to help him set up his kingdom as the Messiah, the Son of God. Instead, they find out that he's going to die, that one of them will betray him and that the other one will deny him. So in this little intimate gathering of his disciples in that upper room, Jesus is trying to clear up any confusion and preparing them for his departure. John is believed to be the last of the Gospels to be written. It was written in a time of great persecution against Christians who were easily tempted to believe others questioning the validity of their faith. So both settings, the disciples here and the early Christians, are putting people in the context of facing adversity. And here we all are now, in a time of uncertainty and adversity as well. And Jesus' words to them and to us today are, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Gosh, who says the Bible is not relevant to today? So Jesus' words to his disciples were about comfort. Jesus had delivered some hard news to them, but then offers these comforting words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now, in order to understand this passage, you need to know a little bit about the Jewish marriage custom in Jesus' day. And this was explained to me so well by Christian author and speaker Rob Bell. If you haven't read any of his books or listened to his podcasts, I would recommend him. He really brings Jesus' teaching alive and helps us to understand that teaching within the culture of the day. I went to hear Rob Bell speak live about 12 years ago, and he spoke about this passage and helped me to understand it so much better in the context. So when a young man wanted to get married, he would go to the home of his beloved and negotiate a bridal price with her father. Once that price was agreed upon, the young couple was betrothed. In other words, they were legally married, but not actually so. That is, they were not allowed to live together yet. So the young man would go back to his father's house in order to prepare a place for the two of them to live. He would, in essence, build an extra room on the house to make room for them both. It took him about a year, but at the end of the year, when his father said the place was properly prepared, he would come back for his bride. There would be a big procession to her house, where she would join him to return with her husband to his father's house. There they would live together for the rest of their lives. That's the picture Jesus paints for his troubled disciples here. He tells them, I'm going to my father's house to prepare a place for you, and when that place is ready, I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming so that we can be together forever, so don't worry, you're not going to be left alone. This is Jesus' picture of heaven, which is a place of perfect abiding with him. No more separation from God. You know, with all that's going on in the world at the moment, it's easy for us to think, what on earth is going to happen now? It's easy for us to lose our way a bit and feel alone in every sense of the word, and allow our doubts and fears to overtake our certainties and the truths we cling to. If we just knew which way to go, if we just knew what truth to trust, if we just could be assured that life would turn out all right, then maybe, just maybe, we might be able to hold on. And Jesus said, if you're looking for the way to go, that's me. If you're looking for truth you can trust, that's me. If you're looking for assurance life will turn out all right, that's me. You trust in God? Well, trust also in me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what is it about Jesus that makes him the way, the truth, and the life? When Jesus says this, it isn't out of arrogance or arguing which religion is the right one. He isn't making a case for himself over other faiths. He is simply reassuring his followers that in him they have connection to God. They have someone to show them the way to live, and they are not alone to face life. Jesus was saying to them, you believe in God even though you can't see him, so believe in me also. Keep believing. Your faith in me must not be diminished just because you will not see me. I will still be present with you. He wanted the disciples to understand that even though he was leaving them physically, his presence would be with them spiritually. He would be leaving, but they had and would always have access to God. The early Christians were living in a world where their belief was the minority, and they needed confirmation that their faith was valid. This I am statement Jesus makes about being the way, the truth and the life is about trying to affirm their faith amidst their trouble, their doubts and their fears. Do we not need that same confirmation today? How often in the past 2 weeks in particular have we talked about or heard about the saying, making your faith bigger than your fear? Even this week I was reminded of the quote by Nikki Gumbel who said, the strength of your faith is not measured by the absence of doubt, but by the faithfulness of your life in the face of doubt. So in the days when there was fear, when there were doubts about their faith, these words were assurance that their faith was genuine, their connection to Christ real, and their path was one that led to the Father. And this is the same for us today. We have certainty because of God's grace, and through that he offers us salvation that brings about a new way of living, a truth to hold on to in the fears and doubts, and life in its fullness and in eternity. Jesus is the embodiment of this truth. His Hebrew name, Yeshua, is translated as God is salvation. Jesus came to live out that truth and provide a way for us to live it and experience it too. And so we're invited to make Jesus Christ our way. He is our pattern for living. So how do we do that? How do we make Jesus Christ our way? Firstly, we stay connected with Jesus in community with other believers. That's what the disciples did for 3 years. Knowing Jesus was not limited to an individual experience for them. And so faith becomes real to us in relationship with other believers, through fellowship with others with whom we entrust our lives. It's been so encouraging to know and hear ways in which people within our church and the greater church are still linking up despite the necessary restrictions that we're all having to live with at the moment. There are all sorts of ways, old and new, that people are using to connect with each other, letter writing, telephoning. We've also entered a new age of Zoom, the virtual face-to-face meeting app, which has literally taken off. You know, Adrian, he loves it. Sometimes he Zooms me from his office upstairs if I'm downstairs in the lounge. And on Friday, I had a coffee date with my butterfly volunteers over Zoom as well, and that was just lovely. Adrian talked last week about how strange it was to sit on his own in the hall a couple of Sundays ago with no one else there to share faith experiences with. We are recognising that we need to stay contacted and connected with each other to continue to experience Jesus as the way, truth and life. Dallas Willard wrote, personalities united can contain more of God and sustain the force of his greater presence much better than scattered individuals. The fire of God kindles higher as the brands are heaped together and each is warmed by the other's flames. So continue to stay connected. If no one has phoned you, you phone someone. In the core, we're in the process of organising a group of people who together will be making sure that everyone within our core is contacted weekly and remains connected. Folks, stay connected to each other. But also we're invited to make Jesus our way by developing practices that deepen our connection to God. The one thing the disciples asked Jesus to do was to teach them to pray. They saw in his prayer life something they wanted. We too need to develop these habits that bring us closer to God. This is a great time in particular to develop them. So use this time of being in lockdown as a gift to do this almost. When you're out on your one daily walk a day, pray. Do a prayer walk. When you're wondering what to do, keep a prayer journal. Fast, read your Bible, write a letter to God. If you have access to the computer, look up Bible studies, articles and devotions, download Kindle books to help you. Tune into the daily devotions on the Core Facebook, which shares a thought or some music, or even better, make a video of your own, which explains to us something of your learning, so you can share that with others as well. Again, Dallas Willard says, any activity that is in our own power and enables us to achieve by grace what we cannot achieve by direct effort is a discipline of the spiritual life. In other words, I might not be able to make myself more patient or understanding, but I can pray. praying lies within my power, and over time I can see what God can do in and through me in terms of making me more patient and understanding. Develop those habits to bring you closer to God. We're also finally invited to make Jesus our way through practicing sacrifice. We're already in this time seeing great sacrifices by so many to help others. You know, despite all that's been going on, I have been working my way through the 40 Acts Daily Reading Challenge. Each year I like to follow this during Lent because it encourages me to think generously. On Thursday last week, the theme was sacrifice. The person who wrote it talked about how she took some clothes into her local dry cleaners one day, and she was wearing on her coat a seahorse brooch that her son had given her. The manager of the dry cleaners wasn't a particularly friendly person, but commented on the brooch and how his mother would love it because she loves seahorses, and he said he wished he could get a similar one for her. As she left, the lady felt that she should give it to him, but thought that it would be just a bit weird doing so, and also she was fond of the brooch. However, this feeling never went away, and about a week later, she went back to the dry cleaners. She explained to the manager that she felt God was telling her to give him the brooch, and that it wasn't her generosity, but the generosity of God, who loves him so very much. The manager's eyes just teared up, and he came around from behind the counter to give her a big hug and to thank her. She explained that she was so grateful to God that they still had their son because he nearly died a few years ago, and that actually she doesn't need the brooch as she has her son. God is interested in the things of our heart. He looks for those moments when we lay something on the line that really matters to us. Those moments show us if we truly have love at the core. The disciples experienced the cross. They understood that new life and hope came through sacrifice and love at the core, and it profoundly changed them. They made the sacrifices for what they believed and yet found joy in doing so. The disciples of Jesus knew there were some things in this world that money couldn't buy. They found living a life of sacrifice was something priceless, and it helped them to realize what was really important. As we journey through this Holy Week to the cross, may we experience the new life and hope that comes from the sacrifice made by Jesus, and that love at the core, and may it profoundly change us too. And so, in this I am statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus gives a prescription for troubled hearts. Have faith in Jesus. He's prepared a place for his disciples through the cross. He promised to come back and bring us to himself. We know the way to the Father's house. That's Jesus. Know Jesus. Follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. Love Jesus. Jesus is the way. Because if you know Jesus, then you know the Father. Jesus revealed the truth of God and the life that is found in God. So live as the way, showing other people Jesus also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Today we choose to put our trust in you. Help us to walk closely with you each day. And thank you for making it possible for us to have eternal life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.